All right. Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. I was kind of expecting a few people that's not normally in our Sunday school class, but hey, we're here on. So, y'all may, at least, y'all be familiar with what we're going to be looking at, you know, and that's a good thing. May not have to go quite as in depth on the, reference going back, looking at the beginning, but you'll be familiar with what we're looking at. First thing we don't want to do is go to the Lord and then bless His Word. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Lord, just thank you for bringing us to your house this morning. Lord, just thank you for your Word. Lord, just pray that you'll just bless your Word. Lord, give it to me. Lord, give me your Holy Spirit. Give me that unction, Lord God. Only you can. Lord, just pray that you just be with our congregation, Lord, just touch them, Lord, each and every one of them, Lord, as we leave this place, we'll say it is good to have been in the house of the Lord. I just want to thank you for all your blessings and praise your holy name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. What we looked at in Sunday school, what's been 2 months ago, however long it's been, there was three questions we were looking at. What is a biblical Christian? What is revival? And what is fellowship? And we went through fellowship looking at, fellowship with God, fellowship with Christ, fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we didn't go in real detail with all of them, but we looked at a few verses. And then, Lord willing, we'll get to fellowship with the wicked forbidden this morning. But first, I wanted to kind of give you a refresher on the answers that we come up with some of these questions. It says, what is a biblical Christian? Just as a reminder, it is getting the answer right or wrong is the difference between life or death spiritually. We know if you get the answer wrong, you know, then, and there's so many that do, there's so many that think, that their good has to outweigh the bad, and they're going to heaven if it does. You know, and we know that is so wrong, because that's not biblical. That's not the right answer. So we look at what is a biblical Christian. According to the Bible, a Christian is a person who has faced realistically the problem of his or her own personal sin. A biblical Christian is one who has seriously considered the one divine remedy for sin. A biblical Christian is one who has wholeheartedly complied with the terms for obtaining God's provision for sin. A biblical Christian is a person who manifests his or her life that their claims to repentance and faith are real. In other words, you know, in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves whether you be of the faith, and know not yourselves that Jesus Christ lives in you, lest you be a reprobate. And so this is something that, to know that you're a real biblical Christian, you examine yourself. Because if you can't prove it to yourself that Christ lives in you, you're not going to prove it to anybody else. Yep. You know. And the main thing is to knowing that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you have fellowship with the Lord. And our next question was, what is revival? An American Heritage Dictionary says that revival is the act of reviving or a condition of being revived, a restoration to use, acceptance, activity, or vigor after a period of obscurity or quiescence. And the word quiescence means dormant, inactive, or still. Or you might say dead, you know. And we know when you're spiritually dead, only Jesus Christ can revive you. You know, it's not like somebody can give you CPR. You know, somebody else can give you the word, but it's still going to be Christ that's reviving you. Somebody can tell you, and what we need to do, when you know somebody's struggling, when you know somebody's, you know, backsliding or going in the wrong direction, the way to encourage them is the word. Give them the word. Tell them what the word says. Encourage them. You know, don't beat them up, but encourage them. Tell them, you know, Well, God's word says he's going to be with you. God's word says that, you know, he is our protector. He is our life. He is our, you know, our substance. He is everything. Just go to him, you know. Just, you refer to what they are, you know, when they're backsliding, the problem is they're not looking to God. They're looking away. You know, and you got to point them back to Christ and say, you know, remember who's kept you all this time. But anyway, to be revived, it has to be Jesus Christ doing it. And we got to remember that anytime you're backsliding, you need reviving. Anytime you're staying the same, you need reviving. Because he tells us to grow spiritually. He tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we want to always grow, always be moving forward. Because when you're not moving forward is when you're taking the chance of moving backwards. All right, and our third question was, what is fellowship? It is the condition of being together or sharing similar interests or experiences as do members of a profession, religion, or nationality, or a companionship. We was at the hospital with Rosie yesterday, and we were discussing this. Mom was asking me, you know, what was I going to be teaching on? And I said, fellowship. She said, that's what you said last time. I said, that's what, I said, you know, we look at different things. It's not like we look at the same scripture every single time, you know. I said, we look at it different, you know. And anyway, we got to talking about that and talking about, you know, what comes to mind when you think of fellowship. And Ellie was mentioning that, you know, we should have a fellowship, you know, not just at church, but wherever we're at, you know, whether it be at the hospital or whether it be at work or whether it be at, you know, and that is a thing we should do. She was talking about being ready to meet Christ. I said, what you wear to church, maybe the same thing you wear Monday because, you know, he sees you every day, you know, and that's what we need to think about our fellowship and our revival. You know, one of the things that we looked at before was Amos 3:3. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, and the first thing you have to do is make sure you're agreed with Christ. Make sure you're agreed with God, agreed in his word, agreeing, you know, because in order to agree with his people, you got to agree with him first. And that was the one thing that we looked at most of the last time I taught Sunday school. And that's something we can look at every day. You know, can two walk together except they be agreed? And always remember first to be in agreement with God. And the way to do that is study his word. You know, because people think they're in agreement with God because I feel right about it. Because I just feel like that's the right thing. That's not the way you do it. The way to feel right about it is not, well, that is what God's word says. Thus saith the Lord. You know, if I can say I'm doing this because God's word says I'm supposed to do this, I can feel good about it. Amen. If I'm doing this because this is what I think God would want me to do, I can't feel good about that. I got to feel good because I know God wants me to do this. You know, and that's the difference. There's so many people, and you hear it every day, especially in the workplace. There's one guy that he just come to our department, and his... I don't want to talk bad about him, but his conversation's not very good, you know. And something come up, and I referred to, you know, doing things to please God, and he quoted a scripture and said, you didn't think I knew anything about that, did you? And I said, well, I'm glad to hear that. But, you know, I didn't get to talk to him a whole lot about it. But I let him know that, you know, his conversation wasn't something that I wanted to be caught up in, you know. And, but anyway, that's something that we got to look at when we're having fellowship. Like I said this morning, the main thing I wanted to get to, and we're going to read several scriptures, you know, as we get into it, is about, not having fellowship with the world, you know. And the thing is, we're to witness to them, we're to talk to them, but you got to think, what is fellowship? Fellowship is when you're in agreement. Fellowship is when you're can talk about things that you have the same interest in. You know, I can talk to that guy and, you know, talk to him about work and about what he's supposed to be doing. And, you know, he's just learning the job and he's struggling with it. And, you know, I try to help him with that and tell him what he's supposed to be doing and, you know, the way he's supposed to be doing it and everything. But, you know, but far as his conversation outside of that, it's not my interest. You know, it's something I'm not interested in. And anyway, but that's something we need to look at every day is who we're having fellowship with and is it glorifying God? You know, if you're having fellowship with somebody and it's not glorifying God, then you're not having fellowship with the right people. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and start reading some of these scriptures because I've got several of them wrote down. You don't have to turn to each one of these because there's a lot of them, but I'm just going to read through them because I've got in this, this is my little study, buddy, the Knaves Topical Bible. I love it. It's just, I get to looking through it and, you know, you look up one topic and you can just read on it and it kind of breaks it down and it'll point you to different things and the next thing you know, you're on a different subject, you know, but it's good to look at and you can, I put little dots by, I kind of highlight the ones that I want to look at and kind of go through it. But anyway, we're going to start with Exodus 23:32 and 33. Just going to read a couple of scriptures right there. It says, "Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." And the reason we don't have fellowship with the world is because, like I said, that we shouldn't have the same interest. And their interest is to please their God, which is themselves usually. You know, and their interest, even those who serve Buddha and all these other false gods, you know, you get caught up in talking to them and their conversation and their interests and their things and, you know, it's not good because those things will stick in your mind. And you get to thinking about it, you know, the things that you're around. Me and a guy at work was talking about how people watch certain things on TV, say it's investigative shows like NCIS and other things like that. And the next thing you know, that person takes on that role in their life. They're constantly, well, you know, this happened on NCIS, and that could be what's happening. You know, they start saying, well, you know, this little scenario happened here, and that may be what's happening here. And they start putting their life as if it was on that TV show. You know, and they don't trust anybody, and they don't, you know. Everything is because of what they saw on TV, you know. That was just an example. You can use the same thing with soap operas. People will see soap operas and they'll say, you know, this woman is with her husband and with this other guy and this, you know, at work or whatever the scenario may be. And next thing you know, she's thinking, well, I saw this on TV and that may be what's happening with my husband and that may be, and start accusing them and you know, just whatever the circumstance may be. But the thing is, you start, whatever you're caught up in and whatever you're looking at, whatever you're studying on and, you know, those things stick in your mind. And you'll start, like I said, the guy at work was saying that you kind of take on those roles. You start thinking that your life is just like what you're seeing on TV. And most, especially with all these reality shows that's coming on nowadays, and it's really depressing that like the History Channel, you know, History Channel is not about history anymore. It's about these fake reality shows. I mean, everything that comes on the History Channel is some type of reality shows. I couldn't think of any right off the top of my head, but there's so many, you know, I'm sure y'all know of them. Can you think? No? Anyway, so the guy at work was naming them off, and I was sitting there, You know, that's right. History Channel is not about history anymore. It's about like Duck Dynasty, that type of show, you know. Anyway, you look on there, and but people get to watching TV and watching these reality shows, and they think that's reality. That's not reality. That's all set up. The Survivor Man shows, that kind of thing. I was telling Kent one day, I said, if you think about it, there's a cameraman pointing at camera. He's not by himself. He's not out there on a stranded on a desert island by himself. There's a man with a camera, and there's other people behind him. You know, I said, this is all set up. You know, I said, I bet he goes home and eats supper every day. Anyway, we get to looking at these things, and we start remembering, you know, that we can be in the world and not be of the world. What the world does, like, you don't go in a ditch to pull somebody out. You know, if they're in the ditch, you stay outside the ditch to pull them out. You don't go in the ditch with them, or you're both in the ditch. You know, like, you don't go in a bar to witness to somebody. You know, if you see somebody who's going in a bar, you got to remember later on you need to witness to that person, but not while they're in the bar. You don't go in the bar to witness to them. You know, because like, I'm always talking to Kent and Jay and the kids, so I was telling one of them that, you know, the reason, you know, there was, we were discussing how people will drink socially. You know, people will say, well, Jesus drank wine for the stomach's sake. You know, and they won't even say for the stomach's sake. They'll just say Jesus drank wine, you know, and yeah. And I said, for the stomach's sake, to settle the stomach. That was a medicine type thing. You know, that was something they did back then. You know, they didn't have Pepto-Bismol. You couldn't go to the store and get some Pepto-Bismol for your stomach, you know. And, but anyway, I said, it's like this. You got to think about what other people are seeing. Say, and I used Brother Joey as an example. I said, if you saw Brother Joey drinking a beer, I said, what would that do? I said, you would lose respect for him. You'd say, you know, that just don't look good. My pastor drinking a beer, you know. And you think about, you know, what do other people see? I said, and the same thing, if somebody sees me or one of my kids or one of the family doing something like that, or drinking alcohol or whatever it is, you know, it's a reflection on us. They said, well, you know, is that how they live? Is that what they do? Is that, you know, and if they're, you know, and he said, well, what if you don't drink and get drunk? You just drink because you like the taste of it. Or if you drink because you, you know, just being sociable because everybody else is, but you're not getting drunk. And I said, why take that chance? A drunkard should not enter the kingdom of heaven. Why take a chance that you might get drunk? I said, why? Somebody sees you with that one drink. They don't know how many you've had or you're going to have. You know, there's all these things you have to look at when you're living to serve Christ. You know, you got to be a good representative of Christ. Everything that you do is representing Him. Anyway, I'm going to move on. I've got a bunch of scripture to go to. Exodus 34:12 says, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the land, in the midst of thee. You know, so anytime you go into something, the devil sets up traps, because he's conniving. And he's constantly throwing these fiery darts at you and setting traps and snares for you to step into, just so he can say, ah, he ain't no Christian. Look what he's doing. People see what you do and what you say and how you respond. And I think of that at work. Sometimes my job can get so stressful, so bad, and I have to really think about, you know, how I'm fixing to react. You know, I said, the things I'm fixing to say, I was fussing the other day and things was running real bad, and my boss's boss come around asking me about certain things that was happening and going on. And so I just give him a good earful. I didn't say anything out of the way. I'm just telling him, I let him know I wasn't happy with the way my job was going. You know, I mean, then I told him, I said, it ain't that I'm complaining. I said, but I think you need to know how things are going so you can get something done about it. So, you know, but then I had to, I thought about it. I said, I needed to let him know that, you know, I wasn't upset, you know, with him. I was upset at the way things were going, you know. they did what they call a Kaizen event. And the main purpose of this event was to speed up production, you know. And in the process, you know, you start losing, I think Brother Lamar knows what I'm talking about. You start slacking in other areas to emphasize speed, 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 you know. And sometimes it gets real frustrating. But anyway, I don't want to talk about work. I'm just letting you know that when things happen, you have to think about, you know, how am I going to react? What am I going to say? And try to think ahead of time what you're saying. And then if you do say something, like I said, I didn't use any cuss words because I don't do that. Thank God. You know, that's not part of my vocabulary. But I did let him know that I was upset. You know, and then I got to thinking about, well, I don't want him thinking that's just the way I talk, the way I act, that I'm upset all the time. It's just at this instant, you know, I let him know why. Anyway, number 16:26 says, and he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch not of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. Just like I said about the going into a bar to witness somebody. When you go into a bar to witness somebody and somebody sees you in that bar, you just were consumed in their sins because they saw you in the bar and they assume you're in there drinking. You know, so you have to be careful about what you do and where you go. Deuteronomy 7:2. Excuse me. Says, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them from before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto their sons. Nor his daughters shalt thou take unto thy son. For they shall turn away thy son from following me, and that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. So, if you're letting your sons or your daughters marry into what you know is ungodly people, you know, they're going to turn your son and your daughter into ungodly people. You know, that's why you have to look at it. Because most of the time it's going to be the ungodly reflecting on the godly. You know, when we know that we're supposed to witness and trust that God will, you know, start a work in them. But especially in children, you know, they're easily influenced. And we have to make sure that we don't let the devil influence them. So you don't turn them over to ungodly people, because that's what they'll do, is the ungodly people will influence them. Deuteronomy 13:6 says, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. I'm just going to stop right there, because he goes on about, you know, about killing him and destroying him, and you know, that he shall surely die. But what we need to see here is that he tried to entice him secretly to serve other gods. And you think about that, people will do that And you don't even know what's happening because the devil is sly. And people will take something, and like I said, other guys can be all kinds of things. Say it's going skiing and swimming on the lake on Sunday instead of going to church. And they will entice you, well, it ain't going to hurt you to miss one Sunday and go do this. And then you go do that, and then the next Sunday, hey, are you coming up again? We're going to barbecue, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And, you know, they're enticing you to serve other gods because you know where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing, but you're going to go and do this, you know. And that's just secretly enticing you to do something you know you're not supposed to be doing. So anyway, that was just an example. Joshua 23:6 says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. And you know, we think about our Bible and what I said earlier, to know that you're following God, to know that you're a true biblical Christian, is because you study His Word and try to apply it. You put it to your life. You try to do what the Word of God says. You know you're doing right if you're doing what God's Word says. And you know if you're going by feelings or you're going by what somebody says, you know, the good outweighing the bad. And like I said, that's the way the world thinks. And it's just hard to believe that so many people are like that. And a lot of them so-called Christians will say, well, you know, I do more good than evil. God's happy with me. You know, that don't mean God's happy with you because you do more good than evil. Anyway, it says to do all the things in the book of the law of Moses, it says that you turn not aside there from the right or to the left, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. And like I said, there's ways that happens that you don't know you're doing it, and it goes back to being enticed. It goes back to people trying to get you to do what they're doing. It goes back to being in the world but not of the world. You're in the world, but you don't have to do the things of the world. You don't have to drink because somebody else is drinking. You don't have to smoke because somebody else is smoking. You don't have to do whatever they're doing because they're doing it. Because your Bible tells you, you know, God wants you to do things this way. And that's the way you do it. All right? And that same, instilled in Joshua 23 and verse 13 says, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps for you, and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes until ye perish from off the good land which the Lord your God hath given you. All right, now, it's like you hear this echoed in the New Testament. You know, here he's telling you that, remember in Romans where he said, you know, that he turned them over to, you know, and he turned them over to what they were doing, what they loved. They were all the homosexuals and, you know, all that was going on. He said, you know, and he turned them over to it. And you think right here, they were serving gods other than God, you know, and he's basically saying he's going to turn them over to it. So what's echoed in the New Testament. All right, Ezra 9:12 says, now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek the peace, their peace, or their wealth forever. And you think about that, people who are jealous of evil people because of their money or because of their supposed peace. You know, we know that it's not the real peace. The only peace that is real is that peace that God gives us, which passes all understanding. And it says that you may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. All right, I'm going to read through this again, and because something somebody said at work kind of reminded me of this. It says, "Now therefore give not your daughters to their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, and nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that you may be strong." All right, here, starting right here, "that you may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever." You think about the way the world's going and the way the government's going, and the people are talking about the minimum wage is fixing to go up. And if it goes up, the prices of everything's going to go up. The prices of food and the price, you know, everything's going up. And we were talking about living off the land. People who live off the land. Guy said, you know, the old song, this old country song that country boy can survive. And he's talking about, you know, being able to hunt and fish and, you know, eat what you kill and what you catch and what you grow in your gardens, and being able to have pure water without having to get it from the city, and, you know, and all these little things that God provides for us, you know, but we need to know how to do it. We need to know what we can do. And here he says, you know, when he talks about not giving your sons and your daughters to them and looking at their wealth and their peace and their way, he said, "but be strong and eat the good of the land." And that just kind of reminded me of what we were talking about, you know, eating the good of the land. That we need to think about that. You know, God provided this earth for us. And it's not that, you know, people get so caught up in city water and electricity and all the modern day things, they forget God had people on this earth living years and years and years before all this come around. And so we can trust in the Lord and be strong in Him and not depend on other people. All right, Psalms 1:1 says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Proverbs 1:10 says, My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as that go down unto the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall find our houses with spoil, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. You know, he tells you all that they're enticing you to do, and they're making it all sound good. And tell, join us. You know, we got to think about Noah. Think about building the ark. And he could have said, you know, it's never rained. Why am I doing this? You know, why am I building the ark? It's never rained. All these other people are telling me I'm crazy. And it looks like I'm crazy. But what God tell him? Build the ark. You know, we got to remember all these people are enticing us to, you know, do this. It's what everybody's doing. Go this way. It's what everybody's doing. And we got to remember, he said, refrain thy foot from their paths. You ain't got to follow them. We don't need to be followers, but leaders. And we be leading other people to Christ. All right, Proverbs 9:6 says, Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of the understanding. And, you know, and as I was meditating on that, I got to thinking, go in the way of understanding. Our way of understanding is the Word of God. You know, the world can't understand it. It's foolishness to them. And it's kind of ironic that he uses the word foolish here. Because he said, Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. You know, because we know that their way is true foolishness. Because the fool says in his heart, there is no God. You know, and that's why they go that way. But they invite you to come that way. But you know there is a God. So you know understanding. You know, and what is the beginning of understanding and wisdom? But the fear of the Lord. So, Proverbs 14:7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man, will now perceive not in him the lips of knowledge. So when somebody starts talking, like I said, I refer to a lot of people at work all the time, you know, because that's where I'm at most of the time at work. But you'll hear people start talking, and you can perceive by their language whether they're Christians or not. You know, he says you'll know them by the fruit that they bear. So it's not that you're judging them, but you are. You know, like Brother Lamar taught on, you know, you see somebody and you hear their language, you hear what they're saying, you know what their thoughts are, you know what their personality is. And when somebody's personality represents sin all the time, you know, that's not a child of God. And if somebody, and I'm going to go on down and finish reading because some of the, we get into that as we get into the New Testament, they start talking about if you've got some a brother in the congregation who represents that, stay away from him. You know, get him out. All right? Romans 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. That's what I was talking about just now. You know what you've learned. You know what the Word of God says. And if you got somebody in your fellowship that's contrary to that, that's opposite of that, that's worldly, and you think about these churches, there's so many big churches that are so worldly, and it's like, how can they not see it? You know, everything about their church is about entertainment. I mean, there's nothing wrong with music in the church, but when the music becomes entertainment, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a fellowship breakfast, but when the breakfast is entertainment to the church, you know, it becomes sin. You know, anything that you put before God and becomes, that's what the focus is, instead of God's Word, you know, it becomes sin. And that's what, there's so many, like I said, the big churches, they don't see it, but they're inviting you, oh, come join with us. We have a softball team. We have a basketball team. We have a swimming pool in the back. We have a tennis court. We have, you know, do you have Christ? You know, that's what we're coming to church for. So that's what we need to look at. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And it's got a lot more there, but I'm not going to read on down, but because I'm wanting you to focus on, he's telling us not to have fellowship with the world, not to have fellowship with unbelievers, not to have fellowship with the wicked. You know, he says that with the wicked, fellowship is forbidden. And that's what we need to remember, because we go back to looking at what is fellowship. You've got to have the same interest to have fellowship. And we don't need to have the same interest with the world. Because if you love the world, you hate God. All right, Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And that's the same thing I've been saying, you know. You got people that you know are ungodly, and you know their way, and you know, you got to tell them, well, you know, that's not my interest. That's not what I think about. That's not something I want to be talking about. But let me show you what I do want to talk about. Jesus Christ. You point to Christ. Thessalonians 3:6 says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And that's what I was saying earlier. You know, I might not say it exactly right, but I can read God's word, or you can read God's word and know what he's saying. Because he's telling you that you've got somebody who is walking disorderly, but he's a brother in your church. He said, and you know, it's not to, you don't hate him, and you don't want to, you want to bring him back to where he should be. You want to point to Christ, point to his behavior, telling him, you know, this is not becoming of a Christian. This is not what you do to please God. You know, this, God's word says this. This is the opposite of what you're doing. Come on, let me show you what we should be doing. You know, and you show them in the word of God. 1 Timothy 6:3 says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes and words. Therefore cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmising. It said, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. You know, how many churches do you have promoting how God's going to bless you and how God's going to give you a new car and a new house and a new this and new that, bigger this and better that, you know, and they're thinking that gain is godliness. They're thinking that, you know, if you got a bad job or you're struggling, that's because you ain't living right. Most likely, that's because you are living right. You know, he tells us that we are going to go through trials and tribulations. And we are going to be, you know, have a life that is really going to make us look to him. You know, if your life is so easy all the time that you never count on Christ, then you're not looking to Christ. A lot of times, the life we're going through, the things we're going through, you go through the valley so you can look to the top of the mountain for Christ to pull you up. You know, like when Peter, walking on the water and the winds got boisterous, what did he do? You know, he had to look to Christ because Christ had his hand out. You know, because he began to see when he started looking at the circumstances, looking at the wind, you know, that's when he started to sink. And it's the same way with life. You know, we go through something, and if we don't look to Christ, we're going to sink. We're going to get caught up in that. But if we look and say, well, you know, God is my strength. God is my fortress. God is my all in all. God is what's going to bring me through it. You know, that's when we're going to start coming through it, coming out of it. And when we get on the other side of the trial, we look back and can tell others, look what God brought me through. We can glorify God. It's all about glorifying God. And when you're going through a trial, look for glorifying God. How am I going to glorify God through this? You know, even with my situation at work, I told my supervisor, I said, I see some light at the end of the tunnel. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I said, the flue pipe have been leaking, but I see y'all are putting new seals on the tester so that you can start finding the leaks before they get to me. I said, I see where you're trying to get quality where it's supposed to be. I said, I know I may have to weather the storm before I get there. I said, but I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I said, well, I praise the Lord for it, you know. And he smiles and recognizes, you know, what I see, you know. But I always try to give God glory in whatever situation I'm in. And I may not always do it, but that's where our thoughts should be. You know, we should always be saying, whatever we're going through, well, how can I glorify God in it? Because when you get on the other side, you know it's going to be God that brought you through it, not you brought yourself through it. 2 Peter 3:17 says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So we always got to be on guard because the devil's always after us, making sure we don't fall from our own steadfastness, making sure we don't backslide, making sure we don't, you know, start looking to things other than God. All right, now I'm going to read one. There's several things I could go to, but for time's sake, I'm going to in 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 7 through 10. This is an example of somebody avoiding the wicked, avoiding the world, avoiding, you know, the sin. And you think about it, that's what we should do. When we know it's somebody ungodly, we know it's somebody that we don't want to be caught up with, the things that they're doing, the things, you know, we don't want to be seen with that, you know. And we should avoid it. Just stay away from it. Anyway, verse 7 says, "And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou will give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he had come to Bethel." So he knew, if you go through something and you go through and you know the people are wicked and the people, you know, all that you're going to hear. I give another good example. Break rooms. Certain break rooms at work, all you hear is foul language. All you hear, I mean, it's just terrible. Guess what I do? I avoid it. I don't go in there. And that's what he's saying. You know, he didn't go back the same way because he knew what was in there. I may not go back to that same break room because I know what's in there. I can go back another way. I can go to another break room or just not go to the break room. But anyway, if we know the devil's there, avoid him. Get away from him, you know. Don't join him. All right, I'm going to stop right there.
While he's doing that, I was just going to, in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance
of evil. Yes.
I think about that a lot. Yeah.
And I've.
The appearance of
it. Exactly. Oh, thank you very much. I've got it here. I just didn't get that far. Well, in Sunday school, y'all going to hear some more of this, but we got a lot more where that come from. Praise the Lord. Yes.
That covers everything when you get to looking at that part of it and other parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
You really save yourself from a lot of bad reputation and bad things too by doing that.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much.
All right, get you praise him.